So my name is Wacy Kirkpatrick, and I just want to share with you our journey through risk management in the 21st century. The little disclaimer, I'm not a public speaker. I'd just soon be out there tying down a yearling or something like that, so just bear with me. A couple thoughts on risk management. To start off, I didn't realize I was supposed to know everything by my second rodeo. It seems like a small amount of rodeos. The quote at the bottom, that's one of my favorite quotes. Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. I think it says a lot about how we handle every aspect of our business, risk management included. So a little bit about us. Jamie, my wife and I founded Kirkpatrick Cattle Company in 2013. We operate entirely on leased land, running a cow-calf, stalker, and backgrounding enterprises. In 2017, we added our twins, Rhodey and Riata, to our family. And they're our pride and joy, so this is kind of why we go through some of the things we go through is for them. So how have we gotten to this point? We were just getting started in this business when the cattle market got really wild in 2014 and 15. We went from loaning peanuts to large sums of money overnight. And along with this, we realized we had to know where every dollar we spent was going and had to figure out ways to manage our risk and develop a sound marketing plan. We work really hard to develop our relationships and our team, and we try to remain as flexible as possible and always look for opportunities in every situation. So starting out, we didn't know anything about the futures, but we realized real quick that picking the right day to sell and not having any other form of risk protection wasn't going to keep us in business. We spent a tremendous amount of time learning about futures and options, watching the market, and learning from anyone that was willing to teach us anything about it. We had what I would call beginner's luck the first few years, but then our day of reckoning came, and we'll talk a little more about that later, but the bottom line on here, I don't know if you guys can read it in the back, but my wife should have killed me when I asked her this, but she had just given birth to our twins the day before, and I walked up to her in the hospital bed, and I said, "Honey, I really need a $40,000 margin call check to take over to the broker's office today." And we are still happily married. Bless her heart. So, how many of you utilize some form of risk management? Raise your hands, big and high. All right, quite a few of you. How many of you feel like you have a really good handle on your local basis? Raise them high. Okay, we got some out there. So I'm going to try to provide a simple and easy way to figure basis. So basis is the difference between your local cash price and the futures price. So here's an example from Fort Pierce Livestock in Fort Pierce, South Dakota. That's kind of our local sale barn on 10/18/19 of this year. So on 10/18, 417 pound steers based on the USDA market report averaged 182 per hundredweight. October feeder futures closed at 143.50 per hundredweight. So if we subtract the futures price from the local sale barn price, we end up with a positive $38.50 basis on a 417-pound steer. So it's pretty simple. Here's a website. You guys probably know about this, beefbasis.com, and it's a really useful tool to help estimate basis. So I went over to Beef Basis and did the same, or a 425-pound steer on 10/18 in Fort Pierce. This came up with an average of a $48.56 per hundredweight basis. You know, this estimate was a little high compared to what the actual was, but over the years it provides a pretty good tool to help kind of figure out your basis. One thing that I like to do is I like to try to estimate your basis to be worse than what it actually is, and that way it gives you just a little bit of cushion for the times when it fluctuates against you. So one thing they wanted me to do was to try to give a few real-world examples to you guys to kind of show what we go through. And I'm going to put a little disclaimer in here again. So when I did these projections, there was a few sets of calves in Fort Pierre that were around $750. But on November 1st, I don't know if you could have touched very many 450-pound calves for $750 in Fort Pierre. It probably would have been more like $850. But we're just going to leave the numbers the same and go through this. So when we're looking to start buying calves to run as yearlings, we'll kind of start at the futures price. So we'll go out to the September 2020 feeder cattle futures, and as of October 20th, they were at 145. And based on our history, we'll kind of figure the basis for a 915-pound steer in September to be a minus two. So we'll figure our actual selling price, cash price, will be 143 per hundredweight. So we'll kind of work back. You know, a 915-pound steer at a buck 43 would be $1,308. So then we figure our cost to run that steer from November 1st to September 15th is $475. So we'll just subtract that from the $1,308, and then that kind of helps us figure out what we can pay for a steer. And in this example, if we could have bought them for $750 a head, it would have given us a $83 a head profit, or a 6.77% return on investment. So, for instance, if we were looking for a $100 a head profit, we would have needed a cash price of $145 on this animal, or we would need to sell the September feeder cattle futures at $147 as a hedge. And that'd be about an 8.16% return on investment. The one thing that I don't like about a straight-up hedge is it doesn't leave open the upside potential if you're in a rising market. It kind of locks it in, and then anything above that, if the market goes up, you have them nice little margin calls. So this is a same steer, same prices. The only difference is we're looking at a put option just to kind of protect our break even. So we go through the same process. And then so the break even on this steer, we would figure it to be about 136. Or we would need 136 to break even on him. So if we go to the September feeder put options, on October 20th, 136 September put option cost $2,125. So if you divide that by 55 steers, and that's 50,000-pound contract divided by 915 pounds is 55 head, it'd cost about $39 a head to buy a put option to lock in your break even. So that $39 would actually be added to the $1,225. So in the grand scheme of this, you're guarantee, or you're locking in basically 130. So you're locking in about $1,187 per head, but you're leaving your top side open. We've utilized both scenarios. Some years we've hedged, some years we've bought puts. A way to cheap, you know, the $39 per head on a put is kind of expensive, in my opinion. So a way to cheapen this up would be by selling a call or selling a put at a different strike price. But if the market goes against you on those, you're subject to the market risk if it goes toward whichever strike price you go with. So with our cow-calf enterprise, I want to just share an example of it. And these are kind of all our projections from this year. So a little bit of detail about our cow-calf enterprise. We calve in May and June. All of our land is leased. All of our hay is purchased. And our cows are about 50% paid off. So we kind of projected that our break-even on those cows is $860. And when I look at that, I kind of think, man, why am I doing this? But in April of 2019, we projected our total sales would be about $967 or $107 per head profit. And that would be if we bought a 156 put. And at that time, the fall feeder cattle futures for this fall were trading at 160 to 163. So the 156 put cost about $2,100, and we figured we were locking in about $100 per head profit. So if we fast forward to October of this year, the October and November feeder futures were at about 143 versus 160. So that put option was now worth about $5,900 or 59 bucks a head. Obviously, what we projected we would get out of our calves and our cull cows wasn't the same, and our cost had changed a little bit, but we were looking at about a $17 a head profit just in the cash market. But then when we put our put option value on there, that was another 59 bucks a head. So that brings us up to about 76 bucks a head. No, it's not 100 like we projected, but it's close enough. It'll keep us in business. So, to start wrapping things up, which tool is best to use? And it depends. In our cow-calf example, the 156 put didn't give us the profit we projected, but making $76 per head versus 17, it gives us wiggle room for unexpected events like death loss or higher percent open cows, lighter calves, or, you know, it was a tough winter, we spent a lot on feed. So it gives us a cushion to cover some of those costs. So, in your operation, the decision to use a futures contract or options, it might depend on what your objective is, how risk tolerant you are, and how much money is on the table for you to capture with either tool. Is there a time to limit losses? We've been in positions where we needed to limit our losses. Is there a time to take profits? In my opinion, the Tyson plant fire was a great time to take profits. We took profits on some of our positions, and it was just a decision we made, but, you know, there's times like that where I think it makes sense to protect some of those profits when you have them. So it all boils down to, for us, we're looking for opportunities to meet our economic objectives and make a difference in this world while pursuing our passion for caring for all of God's creations. So remember that $40,000 margin call check? This is a story behind it. So this example, and I'll define it more as a real-world wreck, it probably taught us more than any other year or anything else we'd been through combined, even though it was expensive. I think this was a blessing for us because I think this was about the third year that we were running yearlings. And, man, I wasn't sure we were going to make it through it, but we did. And I think this was a blessing that it happened to us early on and not later on in life. But, so, the scenario was we had bought calves in the fall of 2016, and in late winter, early spring, you know, the market had dropped off in 2016. But we had been profitable because of our risk management, even through that crashing cattle market. So the September feeder futures were at 125 to 127, and we were trying to keep our streak alive. We were going to stay profitable. We were going to keep making money. And so we were letting our emotions get to us, and we thought it was going back into the teens, so we thought we had to hedge them. So we started hedging them, and we were listening to some market hype that was saying, it's going lower, it's going lower. So that was our second mistake. We hedged them, and then I think there was some China rumors about China taking some beef, and then the spring storms that spring, and pretty soon the September feeder futures were at 163. That was painful. I didn't sleep very much during that time. So then, to top it off, we droughted out that year, and instead of having a 950-pound steer, we were talking about having an 850-pound steer. So we were overhedged and paying margin call contracts, or margin calls on contracts that we no longer had the weight for. So a couple things we learned through that mess were our risk management and hedge policy needs to go hand in hand with our drought policy. And we also learned not to try to, or to try our best not to get sucked into the hype, emotion, and noise. We kind of feel that happens at tops and at bottoms in the market. So to talk a little bit about psychology and emotions in a market cycle, this is a tool that I use. If you go to Google, you can search for the Wall Street cheat sheet and look that up. And basically, it just shows all the different emotions and things that are going on through different stages of the market. This is a feeder cattle chart from 1996 to 2019. See any similarities? It follows that Wall Street cheat sheet almost to a T. And if you go back to the Wall Street cheat sheet, up at the top, which we could compare that to 2014, 2015, euphoria. We're all going to be rich. And then, fast forward to 2016, 2019, anger and depression. I think there's been a lot of that around lately. So I kind of use that, the Wall Street cheat sheet. I use it, I have it hanging up on my office wall, and I look at it from time to time to kind of take a 10,000 foot perspective and put my emotions aside and try to make sound risk management decisions. So this page is not going to be in your proceedings. I added this just the other day. My broker sent out an email, and I thought there was quite a bit of wisdom in this, so I thought I'd share this with you guys. And so what he wrote was, risk management has zero to do with calling a broker and expecting an answer to, what do you think of the market today? It's simply about your bottom line. It is about arithmetic. It is about your net return period. It's about doing your homework and having a hedge policy. All of this to say, many of you have erased from your mind all the stuff you have come to believe. And that part he was talking about, because he's been trying to teach a bunch of us by sending out these emails. But all the research out there and all the brokers cannot predict the highs and lows in cash and futures. So count on no one to be right about that. I think there's quite a bit of wisdom in that, what he had to say about having your plan, having your numbers figured out, sticking to your plan no matter what happens. So in the end, things may get tough, but you have to choose to succeed. The cattle market can chew up and spit out a victim mentality pretty fast. Be proactive, know your cost, have targets, have a plan, and pull the trigger when the opportunity presents itself to protect your business, your profits, and your livelihood. The quote at the bottom, I don't know if you guys can read that, but it says, success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. And I think that's pretty good. That's kind of all I have. So if you guys have any questions, feel free to corner me around here and visit. I know there are a lot of people here today that can teach this stuff probably way better than I can, but I've had a lot of people that have taught me, some really smart people that have taught me a lot, and I'd like to pass that along if I can. So feel free to come up and visit. Thanks.